Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle
Young with For His Glory. We welcome you today and we're teaching on who we are created in the image of God, crowned. This is the third of a three-part series. Parts one and two was on crucified and consecrated. Today we're going to learn what it is to be crowned, who we are created in the image of God. We are created in the image of God, crowned. What does that mean? Now, the central text for today's teaching is Psalm 8, verse 5. Psalm 8, verse 5, reading, "Thou hast made him a little lower than God, and thou did crown him with glory and majesty." Yes, Danielle?
In some Bibles, does that not say a little lower than angels?
That's correct, but it's incorrect.
Oh, it is?
That's technically an inappropriate and wrong translation. The term in Hebrew, which is the original language of the Bible,
right?
All right, it's God's language. It's the divine language. It's Elohim. So the text actually, so you hear it, is Wata Hasrehu Ma'at Me Elohim V'Chavod V'Hador Ta'atrehu. Thou hast created him a little lower than Elohim, than God, not angels, exactly. God's talking about us through David here in Psalm 8. And actually, I'm going to give it a tighter translation here. I'm more of a literalist, and that brings out such great depth that we can really get to the meat from the milk where we are. And we all need to progress from milk, but we all start on milk. We have to get to the meat, and we're going to understand what God says about us in every prayerfully every detail. The first part of it, Wata Hasrehu Ma'at Me Elohim, that's the Hebrew, better translates, and you have caused him to lack a little of God. God caused us to lack a little of God. God created us a little lower than himself. He's caused us to lack just a little bit of God. Now that's amazing. But that's how close God wants us to be to him. All right? God's drawn a real close, he's made us real close to him. Why? So we would be able then to reflect his glory the best possible way, have the truest fellowship with him both ways, and best be able to manifest him who fills all in all.
Joel, explain to me, this is really interesting.
Yes.
Explain to me how the word angel got into this translation.
It's a good question. It's really just put in because some of the scribes did not want us to be that close to God or envision God who is Ein Sof, which is Hebrew, without end, to see that we could even possibly be close to God at all. Okay?
So they switched it to angel instead of missing part of God?
They're missing what God says about us, how great God made us to be.
Oh, wonderful.
And that's terrible because we should really just be talking about what God says.
Right.
And not interpret, add or delete, which in Deuteronomy 4:2, we're forbidden from touching what God says. You'll also see, for example, the name Yahweh, which is God's personal name. All right. Sometimes you'll see in a lot of Jewish writings, well-meaning but not true to the text or real scholarship, using other names for the name of God. And some Jews won't even pronounce the name of God because they consider it too holy. However, with all due respect, because I understand noble intentions but not godly intentions in this sense, God has said what his name is. That's what he wants to be called. That's what we do. He says, Lord, it's Lord, and we say, Lord, yes, Lord, and we don't go, well, it's too holy. God says, this is what you call me, and we're going to turn around and say, well, no, because I think it's too holy, and God's already told us what he thinks. So really, it's a false sense of pride instead of respect. Yes.
So God says that he created us just a little lower than himself.
Exactly.
Not angels.
Exactly.
That's
actually
wonderful.
Right, and with that, you look to Genesis, the beginning of the Bible, in the first chapter, in verses 26 and 7, and the paraphrase in context is God created us in his own image, according to his own likeness. So Genesis 1, 26 and 7, with Psalm 8, 5, starts to build a whole picture of what God's view about us is. He's raised us and made us so great and so magnificent, we're actually created higher than the angels.
Wow.
And angels are great in power and great in might, and obey the word of the Lord. They are absolutely wonderful and great beings. However, we have yet to really begin to understand the greatness that God has given us to be. We must do that, and that's one of the purposes of this teaching.
That is so awesome.
Amen. Amen. Exactly. Now, let's look further. In verse 5, we're still going to stay in Psalm 8, and we're going back. We're in verse 5, and we'll back up one verse. And David is speaking, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man that thou art mindful of him, and a son of man that you visit him?" All right? Now, he's just amazed, and if we go back even one more verse, let's back up another one for context. "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou dost care for him?" David is amazed at creation. Anybody who looks, believer or unbeliever, you look at creation, if we're just honest with ourselves, it is spectacular. Mm-hmm. You could take someone who's downcast and upset that day and just put them on the beach at a sunset, look at the shore and the waves and the wind, and just in a moment they'll just be lulled into an absolute peace and the majesty of it all, the vastness of the sky and the stars. And David is echoing the same sentiment. In this sense, he's looking at the heavens, he's considering the heavens, the work of God's fingers, the moon and the stars that God's made, and says, "Wow, look at all that you've done. That's amazing, Lord. Who am I? Did you even think about me? What do you even just think about me? Well, the Son of Man, that you even care about me?" Then he answers his own question by giving us God's revelation. And God's answer to us is this: "I've caused you, I've created you a little lower than myself. I've crowned you with glory and splendor."
I'd like to know, when do we feel crowned with glory and splendor?
Well, if you notice the tense, all right? "And thou hast caused him to lack a little of God, and thou didst crown him, and thou dost crown him with glory and majesty." That was what we were created in the beginning, in Adam. So that's our original state, okay? Mm-hmm. That's who we were. After the fall of man, and we were all seminally in Adam, which means all mankind was there with Adam in the beginning, and when he fell, all fell. And I'll just reference people to Romans 5:12 for further elucidation to that point, Romans 5:12. What happened is then there's a sense of fallenness, but what was lost in the first Adam has been gained and more in the last Adam, who is Jesus Christ. Exactly. And Jesus is God in the flesh, and he came here to restore, redeem, and reconcile and make all things again what they once were and bring us close to himself. God wants us so much that he's done more than everything, because he's done it himself, not an angel, but himself, to bring us back to himself so we can be who we're supposed to be. So we, especially as believers in Christ, that's the term we use, Christians, all right? Now, we're not talking about denominations, with all due respect. We're talking about Christians, the body of Christ. That's a body, not a building. We may meet in buildings, but it's a body. God says, "I made you a little lower than myself, and I've crowned you with glory and majesty." So we should look at each other, and we should be just wowed at what God says. And exactly, when he says, "This is who you are," we should see each other that way, and we should see ourselves that way. We often, though, see ourselves with faults, and at times, we shouldn't be fault-finding and carping and looking at each other and just really doing all the wrong things. We should be looking at what God sees when he sees us, and he sees us as absolutely perfect and beautiful. So, again, David asked the question, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and a son of man that you visit him?" He's amazed that God, after all the beauty of creation and awesome majesty of it all, would even think about us and visit us. Then he says what God says, that God has caused us to lack just a little, ma'at, a little, from a little, all right, of God, and crowned us with glory and splendor. That's something I think if we just study and get a sense of it, it'll be magnificent.
We would realize that we're very special creatures of God.
We're the greatest of all God's creation. We're second to none. We're the best of the best. We're the best in the universe and none better. And that's not a matter of haughty. It's a matter of fact. It's not fiction. It's truth, and it's not trivia. When we finally start to get a grasp of that, we will then concomitantly with that easily be steered away from all these vain attempts to puff up and build up and self-esteem up ourselves artificially. And I think my sense right now is that, thank you, Holy Spirit, is this, that we're getting us trying to do and recapture what God has already told us. Mm-hmm. But there's an imitation out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like eating food that's plastic. From a distance, it looks like food till you get close enough, or unfortunately, maybe even bite into it. And it's not real food. It's imitation. And in this case, it could be even deadly. God has said who we are. When we grasp that, then we're not going to be then attracted to the other things to try to stuff in there to fill a void that's only for God. And God has placed that in there, and He's created us for greatness. We are crowned in Christ. Now, many are just waiting till they get to heaven to be crowned, but they have to understand that God has said, this is who you are. The crowns that the believer will receive, and you study it in Scripture carefully, the believer one day when the church is taken to heaven will receive crowns for the works that they do. It's like getting paid at your job at mm-hmm. the end of the week, all right? You are going to receive crowns for the good that you've done. However, you need to see yourself the way God sees you now, and doing that, you'll even be obviously far more effective to do the work you're supposed to do and not wait to heaven, but have that heaven on earth. So what you want to look for is understand the counterfeit in this respect. Look at what some people do in order to try to have their own crown instead of receive the crown of God. They look for prestige. They look for position. They look for status. Those things are driving people, but the question is, where are they driving them there? They're just so looking for what the Bible calls vain glory. It's not glory, it's a vain glory. They're trying to get a status and a position to put a crown on their own head instead of the one that God has given them, which fits. When they try to put the one that the world is trying to sell them a false bill of goods, it's either going to go over their whole head or it's going to be like a little thimble on their head, but it never quite fits. All right? So when we look at it this way, people are pushing for office and job and prestige and a title. There are people even who've got advances at their job and got a new, bigger title, but they haven't even been compensated for it by salary. They're working longer, harder, but they got a bigger title. And they're just satisfied with so little because they're so hungry, because they are perishing for lack of true knowledge about God. Now, when we start to understand the nature of the beast, then we could stop acting that way and stop pursuing the job and a status and a position and a money and things that are ultimately in such vain, all by themselves, not important.
We should be pursuing the Lord, what He says about us?
We should be pursuing the Lord, what He says about us, and then we'll find the true sense of peace and happiness and security, period. Now recognize that you are unique.
So He has a destiny for us, and that's what we should be pursuing?
You pursue God. He gives you the destiny. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The Bible is very clear. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Psalm 119, 105. The word is a lamp unto my feet. What does a lamp do? It takes light and
focuses it
exactly unto my feet. Why? Because I got to know where I am to know where I'm going. Number one. And a light unto my path. Now, some people are more concerned with the path initially than the light. The path, if you will, is like you asked earlier, Danielle, your destiny or what do I do and all mm-hmm. that. However, if one were to have a map with all the things they're going to do for the rest of their life in all detail and shut the light in the room, could you read it?
No.
Why?
It's too dark.
No light.
Right.
So what do we need? We need the light to see the path. Now, the path is already there. And I'm going to quote another verse for context here in Ephesians 2. Verse 10, Ephesians 2:10, for of Him, the Him is God, for
right.
of Him we are a product, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He previously prepared in order that we might walk in them. Now, a product is a result. 2 and 2 is 4.
4.
4 is the product. There's nothing to add to it,
right.
nothing to delete from it, nothing to change it. It's it. Of Him, we're a product. We're trying to add, and God says, you're complete in me. in him. For of him, that's genitive, of him, we are a product, created. He did the work in right. Christ Jesus. For what reason? For good works. In order that we might walk, which he previously prepared. He's got it all laid out. We follow him, you'll arrive and do everything you're supposed to do. Because the purpose of everything is to get closer to him, manifest him, and it's all for his glory, our good, and a testimony to many others. Okay? So what we have to recognize is get away from this vainglory in a job and a status as the focus. Just like you said, it's God focus. Now, when we get God's focus, he says you're unique. Now let's see what God says about us, okay?
Right.
Instead of others. God's opinion is the only one that really matters. And that's what should only matter to us. Amen?
Amen.
So God says you're unique. That means I have no competition. I have no competition. Therefore, I don't have to compete for job or status. No one is me but me. Nobody could do what I do but me. I am the best at being me. Nobody could be me like me. And in being me, God chose me to represent him. Not as anybody else can or should, but I represent God exactly the way God has created me to represent him. Then, as I represent God exactly as he's created me to, I have then the status, the position, and the prestige that he's called me to have. In that job or status, I will have the prestige no matter what it looks like in the world, whether from a president or to someone cleaning the street, it doesn't matter because there's no low position. They're all a proper position with God, and you will feel absolutely unique.
Satisfied.
Satisfied, soul satisfied, perfect in that place, and you won't be competing for something that's always one step outside of your reach because it's not God's position. It's man that we're pursuing, and if we pursue man, it's going to go to no good. When we pursue God, we'll have what people look for and need, satisfaction, peace, and security, and we'll be wearing that crown that God has called us to wear. Now, let me give you more information. Now, in the same psalm, we'll go to the next verse, verse number 6, Psalm 8, verse 6, all right? David is talking about God. God is the you here. You have made him, that's man.
Mm-hmm.
You, God, have made him man. You have made him to have dominion over the work of your hands. You have set all things under his feet. Now let's go to verses 6 through 9 total. Okay. You have made him to have dominion over the work of your hands. You have set all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, and all that passes through the pass of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. That's the end of the psalm, Psalm 8, verses 6 through 9. Notice what it said earlier. You have made him to have dominion over the work of your hands. God has given us the dominion. When we try to do it without God, we're going to follow the world for job, for status, for position, to have dominion. Why? There's a sense of dominion that we have inside us. But the dominion, when it's not used in a godly way, is dominating other people.
Mm-hmm.
So we enslave people.
Mm-hmm.
And we get them, try to get them to worship us.
Right.
That's all wrong. When we follow God, he's given us our position and status. In that position, you'll feel you have dominion, because you do.
Right.
Over the work of his hands. He's done the work, and he says, now you sit here, you stand here, you work here, and you'll have, like you said earlier, Danielle, the satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
The peace, the security, exactly, which only comes by being where God has made his beings to be.
Right.
All right? He's given us that. He's put all things under our feet. So we need to accept and move into that there in a healthy way. Now, I'm going to go to Psalm 21, verse 3, and listen how it flows all together.
Okay.
The speaker is speaking about God. You presented him with blessings of goodness. You set a crown of pure gold on his head. Now, that's applied to King David, but by extension, it applies to all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and who will rule and to reign with him. And you can look at Revelation 20, verses 4 to 6 for that. Notice also the goodness of God. God precedes you. Remember what it says? You preceded him with blessings and goodness. Sometimes when we're not having God's view of things, we look and we're looking for the blessing, we're looking for the good. And here it says, by someone who spent time with God, there's no replacement for spending time alone with God. He says, you preceded him. Now, in that place of him, everybody listening, put your name in there. God preceded you. It means God went before you. Mm-hmm. Before you got where you got to go, before you get home, before you get to your job, when you get out of your car, God's already preceded you. He's met you there. He's ahead of you there. And he's brought blessings of goodness. Now, we could walk right by him, or we could walk right into him and receive him by faith if we believe just what God has said. David recognized it. David's a man just like us, a great man of God, but all great men and great women of God were once babies and they all grew up.
Mm-hmm.
It's our time to grow up too. So we need the word to feed us, to go from milk to meat, to strong meat, to that manna from heaven, so we can build our bodies up spiritually and physically in every way to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Now, in Ephesians 1:3, sometimes we're looking to be blessed. Listen, it's all deals with being crowned. We got to know what's available to us, all right? Blessed, now tell me, is this present, past, or future tense? Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in the Messiah or in Christ.
Yes.
Is that past, present?
Past.
Oh, good. So someone who says, well, I'm looking to be blessed, God says, I've already blessed you. We're looking for food. It's already on the table. It's already there. So we need to know that, and we have to. And as soon as we know it, we can move forward. Now listen to what he wants us to do in Proverbs 4:9, talking about wisdom. She will place on your head, say your.
Your.
Now say mine.
Mine.
She will place on my head.
My head.
She will place on your head, Danielle, a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of glory. Hear that same concept?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in 1 Corinthians 1:24, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, the Greeks or the Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. All right?
Right.
He is the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of the wisdom and the knowledge. Colossians 2:3, those are definite articles. All right? Now, thus to be a believer who receives this blessing promised by God is to walk in the way of wisdom. Proverbs, and indeed all sacred scriptures. Now listen carefully. This crown would be a manifestation of that which wisdom confers as we receive through believing what we learn and become what we know. This then is a manifestation of the beauty of wisdom that the Messiah is as you become familiar with wisdom and get wisdom. We are in him. We are his bride and we are his body. All right? Now, the Hebrew word for crown, all right, at a deeper level, deals with that which surrounds the head, the highest, the most important, the person himself. An important text for you to look at is in Isaiah 28:5-6. Listen carefully. In that day, the Lord of the armies will be a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people, and for a spirit of judgment for him who sits upon a judgment, and for strength to the one turning back the battle at the gate. You must study that carefully because it says the Lord himself, the Lord of the armies, will be a crown of glory. He is the crown of glory. It's not just an abstract. He's giving us himself. The Lord of the armies will be a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people. That you must not forget. Now, work out your salvation, people, with fear and trembling. For it's God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his own good pleasure. Now, study the scriptures carefully. You'll see that you have five crowns in the New Testament, which time won't allow us to do. But recognize that as you study the crowns carefully, you will find that you come through being crowned. You'll learn then to love him and long for him and live for him. You recognize you're created in his image. You've been crucified in Christ. You've been consecrated to Christ. You will be crowned and really are crowned by Christ with God himself. Okay? Praise the holy name of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and amen.